For where two or three are gathered together, there I will be in the midst of them. And it is a blessing to be together, even though the group is small, and to greet you in the worthy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll be reading from verses 22 through 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, the title of the message, I could title it Security in an Everlasting Kingdom, or A Kingdom That Cannot Be Shaken. Many of you are probably aware to a certain extent as to what's happening worldwide. If you read the news, you see some things that are very fearful and seems like it's leading up to something. And sometimes you question yourself, how much should you be involved in trying to stay informed of to what's happening worldwide? But, you know, when you really think about that, to understand some of the warnings that the scriptures give, we should have a certain knowledge of what's going on. And by all appearance, it appears that it's leading up to the return of our Lord. And it seems like and appears that the day is drawing nigh when all these things that we see and handle here in life will be consumed by fire and time will be no more. Now, when you see some of the things that are happening, and especially when you read of this upcoming election, it could cause us to be a bit fearful. Depending on the upcoming election, depends how that turns out, things could happen rapidly, where we would see a people growing in number against Christianity. And that could be fearful. Even in China, persecution against Christians is escalating. People are tortured for their faith, and freedom to worship is just not to be there. We still have that privilege here, and I think we should take advantage of it. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I trust as we're here this morning, we value that kingdom and make sure that we are a part of that kingdom. And we can have security in a kingdom that is not only for time here, but it is through all eternity. It's an everlasting kingdom. And we have that security as we know the Word of God to be a part of that. There's four things that I would like to consider this morning. God has appointed a great shaking to bring this world to a close, a final shaking of the earth and the heavens. And the second one, before that happens, God has also appointed that there's going to be an increasing frequency and intensity of earthquakes and calamities leading up to that great day. A bit the way labor pains lead up to the birth of a child. And the third one, before the end of this age, God in His great mercy is offering to everyone who believes in His Son a kingdom that cannot be shaken and that will never end. And then the fourth one, let us worship God with reverence and awe, knowing that our God is a consuming fire. God Almighty, redeeming people through His Son, is the safest place in all the world to stand. A great final shaking. God has appointed a final shaking of the earth that will mean the end of the world as we know it, and the beginning of something that is far much better than what we can experience here. If you look again at verses 26 and 27, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken and of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So it's telling us here that there is coming a time when things are going to be shaken and be gone. But it's also indicating here that there are those things that cannot be shaken. And that is what we want to be a part of. God's voice then shook the earth. And that's referring to the shaking at Mount Sinai when he came to give the law. In Exodus 19, verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. In Haggai 2:6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. The Bible tells us that there is coming a day in which there will be such a violent shaking in creation that the world that we know of today will be removed. It will not be anymore. There will come a new heaven and a new earth on which righteousness dwells, but the world is going to come to an end someday, and there will be a removal of the world as we know it, and what cannot be shaken will remain, the kingdom of God and everyone who dwells therein. There are several other places in the Bible where this is made clear. For example, Isaiah 13, verse 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. There is coming a day, the day of the Lord, of fierce anger and punishment and justice upon the earth for sin, and the earth will be shaken out of its place. In Isaiah chapter 24, verses 18 through 20, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken away in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and it shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. There again, a warning that this world is going to totter on its foundation someday and collapse as we know it, and it will all be over, and only God and his people will stand. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth out her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, can you imagine in that day where people will be crying out for rocks and hills and mountains to fall upon them, to get away from the face of God, to get away from his fierce anger? And even today, you are seeing people wanting their bodies to be cremated and scattered out over the sea where the ashes will drop down into the depth of the sea. But you know, even there, God will know where each one is at. Can you imagine people crying out for that to happen, that the rocks and hills fall upon them to hide them from God? And if only they would have considered that what a blessing it is to come into the very presence of God and to be there as a child of God. There's a great earthquake coming when all the unbelievers who have spurned the gospel, who have lived for worldly pleasures, who have ignored God, will want to be crushed under the rocks and hills. In Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, And the seventh angel poured out his vial onto the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. These things are coming. These things are even being seen and witnessed today by some people. Earthquakes, famines. What you read over in some parts of Africa, it's pitiful of the lack of food that people are having and many children starving. I wish I would have the number that I read recently, and I can't bring it to mind, of how many children are starving due to lack of food across Africa, even just Africa itself. Talks about here how the stars will fall from heaven. Can we even begin to imagine what it will be like when the stars begin falling? The skies are rolled up like a scroll, and the earth comes out of its foundation and collapse, and all the islands and the mountains vanish, and there is only God with whom to deal. and standing before him with nothing but what is in our hearts. We can't imagine such a great undertaking, but it's coming, and we need to prepare ourselves. The second point, the Bible talks about labor pains. And why does the Bible bring that out? And there again, I think it's to help us understand some of the things that we can expect before our redemption is made complete. Before the end comes, God has appointed that this great final shaking be preceded by smaller earthquakes, other calamities, to give notice of something awesome, the way contractions and labor pains precede the birth of a child and tell us that something is coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Those that heed not the warnings, those that don't take note of what is happening and apply it to their life as a result of at the end coming, are going to not escape in the destruction of all that is going to happen to this world. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And the disciples asked Jesus, "Well, what will be the sign of his coming and the end of the world?" And he answers, "All this is but the beginning of sorrows, like a woman who travails." There's three things here that we can notice. There is an end coming. The end is not yet. Before it comes, there will be wars and earthquakes and famines, and things will be unusual in their happenings. Take like the incidents over there in Beirut, where there was that huge explosion. And I just read recently that there were firemen, and there was one lady paramedic that were rushing to the scene only to meet their death. These calamities before the end are like birth pangs. There will be an increasing frequency of those things as the end comes near, and that intensity of them will increase, because that's the way it happens with labor pains before a child. Second, it means that what these earthquakes are leading up to is something that is going to happen in a very marvelous way, something wonderful, like the birth of a child. The labor may be painful, but it is full of hope. They are the birth pangs of the new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. In Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When we read about these things, and we see that these things are happening, it should remind us that God reigns. God is in control. God will have the final say. When we see that there are famines and earthquakes, I believe it is God saying, I reign. I am a God of holiness and justice and wrath and will not condone sin. When we see these things happening, I think it should also remind us that God is a God of mercy. He's forewarning us of these things that are about to happen. He's a God of hope. It should remind us that God is bringing in another kingdom, and that this earthly kingdom will be no more. But it's not without warning. And I believe it's in these times that we must believe that what God says in His Word will happen, and just to simply place our hand in His and allow Him to lead us through these times. Paul taught the same thing in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Again and again and again, he is shaking people to the reality of the instability of this world, and hopefully creating a desire for people to want something that is far much better, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The third point, the gift of an unshakable kingdom. Before the end of this age, God is giving to everyone who believes in His Son a kingdom that cannot be shaken and will never end. And this is really the message of the whole Bible. But we should look again at verse 28 of Hebrews. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice also verse 27 would tell us there that we have already received this kingdom, and this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. This is a true blessing to be a Christian. This is the joy of being a child of God. This is where our hope lies, that after all these things vanish away, there will be a life that far exceeds what we can experience here in joy, in happiness, in peace, in being free from sin, being free from temptation. We will live eternally with Jesus our Savior and be face to face with Him. It doesn't matter whether you live in America, whether you live in Kenya, South America, or any other place, we have a kingdom which has already been given, and our life in Christ is unshakable. Now, this does not mean that as these things come to pass, should there be an earthquake in our area here, we may suffer loss. We may lose some of our possessions. Does not mean that we will not suffer persecution. The Bible tells us, for all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We may well face that, and it could happen suddenly, especially with some of the things that we see politicians standing up for today. It's quite frightening, but we have a security that they cannot take from us, and that's where we need to stand. We have a kingdom which has already been given, and our life in Christ is unshakable. Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We share in the same calamities of creation as long as we're in this body. When the floods come, the hurricanes come, we may suffer loss. Receiving an unshakable kingdom does not mean safety for the body in this world, but it does mean that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It does mean that deep and abiding certainty that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Romans 14, 9. It means, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 13, 14. A city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, 10. A city that cannot be shaken. Hebrews 12, verse 28. A city that cannot be shaken forever. The fourth point. In Hebrews, we read how that God is a consuming fire. And I'm not sure if I understand all of that, exactly how it states that, but we believe that the wrath of God is being held until that day, and then in all fury it will be released upon unrighteous men and ungodliness and sin. In view of all these things, the free gift of an unshakable kingdom, we should worship God with reverence and awe, remembering that our God is a consuming fire. We should reverence God in worship and awe, realizing that God will spare us from his wrath if we but believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and do what we can to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to him. Hebrews 28 and 29, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The question for believers and even unbelievers alike this morning is this: is our heart fixed upon God? Is God our treasure, or is the world our treasure? Is God our security, or is some kind of retirement plan our security? Is God our fellowship, and do we truly enjoy being in the presence of fellowship with God? Is God our portion in this life, or is this world our portion? Are we living upon what we believe the Bible teaches, or are we being deceived to accept some of these things that the world is offering today, and even mainstream churches? Do we stand with reverence and awe before the power and holiness of God, who is a consuming fire toward all sin? You see, the gift offered through his Son, Jesus Christ, forgiveness and the hope of everlasting life and a firm kingdom that cannot be shaken is what we should be living for today, especially as we see these things coming to pass. Are we all in the kingdom that cannot be shaken? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now I invite you to turn to Psalm 46. And this is one of my favorite psalms. And with the reading of Psalm 46, I will close. Pay close attention. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river page doesn't want to come apart. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice. The earth melteth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Shall we kneel for prayer?